Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Jimmy the Bubble Boy in the studio with me today. How are you,
man? Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Great to be
here. Feeling
good?
Feeling good?
Yeah. Great weather.
Great weather. What do you mean? It's like cold outside here in Orlando.
I do. I love it cold.
You love it cold?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that. Matter of fact, so much so that I'm leaving the area next week, going down to the Caribbean. And I'll report back accordingly on the show. But I plan to make a little stop in Aruba, Bonaire,
nice.
And Grand Turk. Hopefully before... We're cutting it pretty close, but you know, up until broadcast time next week. So it'll be interesting to see how it all works out. But if things go as planned, next week you'll hear me talking about that a little bit.
I was going to join you after. For the October 3rd trip, but I guess it's already booked up. The boat is full.
What?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
I went to their website and I couldn't find the link for that date for October 3rd.
It's oh, well, no, they have just locked it out for us. You have to call them.
Oh, so you have to call.
Okay. Yes.
Well, then
yes.
I might go. I think I'm going to give them a shout.
Yeah, come on out, man. 1-800-322-3577, Explore Ventures at Scuba Radio, Scuba Cruise, October 3rd, 2015. We are going to have a ball in the Turks and Caicos. So, I'll get a little sneak peek when I head out to Grand Turk. And actually, the more I think about it, I think our schedule, what we're planning to do is have a report on that in 2 weeks. Now, I think I got ahead of myself already here when we just started the show today. That is so typical. But look, we got a full crew, believe it or not, even though it's just me and Jimmy in the studio today on our via the web. We are connected with, I don't know, all over the world right now. We have, Eric Douglas, where you're in Virginia. Is that right, Eric? Do I get the?
That would be West Virginia, Greg.
I don't want to. I got. That's right. We have a bit of a rivalry on the air today because Eric is in West Virginia and Jerry the Diver Guy is in Virginia. Am I right?
Oh.
Yes. So he's working the spring water in the mountains of Virginia while Eric is. Well, I don't know if he's working the spring water, but he might be working a beer or something in West Virginia.
God bless the Commonwealth.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to start some kind of incident today because not only do we have those two fighting it off or fighting amongst themselves in Virginia, we have Roz in the UK. Roz, come in and say hi. Are you there?
Hello, Greg.
Hello. So we have, you know, Roz from across the pond. So we got a fine little crew connected via the web. And if that weren't enough, Big Wave Dave is out on the road with the Be a Diver pool today. So let's talk to him first because he has to throw people in the water and teach them how to dive. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Doing great here in Nashville at the Music City Center Convention Center.
Very nice. You know, Nashville's been all over the news this week because, it was the premiere of American Idol, which I know you're a huge fan of there, Dave. And they actually kicked off their season in Nashville. So are you seeing any of the scrubs that didn't make it to the TV show up at the Be a Diver pool today in Nashville?
Nope. I don't even know where that was at, but we've got a full show here. It's the boat and sports show. Lots of people getting into water. Three great dive stores. So it's a fantastic weekend.
Very nice. So it's a boating event that you got the pool set up there in the convention center by all the boats, and people can I could go buy a boat or I could jump off of it and get a little taste there at the boat show today with you at the Be a Diver pool, right?
Yeah, you know, if you have a boat, sometimes you may follow your anchor. Maybe it gets stuck. You got to jump on the water, fix it, or lose your $100 pair of Oakleys. You can go find them.
Okay. Why? What do you mean? Well, are they throwing them? Are they chucking their Oakleys into your pool?
No, but I mean, you, when you're on your boat, you may
lose
them.
Okay.
You partake of a few, and you're a little staggering. I think you've probably been in that condition once or twice.
Yeah, maybe.
And, you know, things fall over.
They do. Or, you know, people fall out of these things. So it's good if they know how to dive, they know how to save themselves. You know, so that as well. But it's kind of cool. You're giving people a little taste of what it's like. How many people you've had, you know, swimming around in there today?
Just today, we probably had about 60, 75, you know, from all over the area. We got, like I said earlier, three dive stores. We got Scuba Shack, Island Hoppers, and Water Dogs from Clarksville, Tennessee. So we're having a great time.
Very nice. What about the weather there? Are they feeling pretty comfortable there inside? Do they need to be inside in Nashville today?
It's chilly. I mean, it was cold here. It was in like single digits. But of course, you know me, I'm at that cheesehead.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, this is not that bad. It was at minus 38 in Wisconsin at the same time. So.
That's right. So give you a piece of cheese and it could be 20 below and Big Wave Dave would be happy is what you're saying, right?
That's right. We're always happy, especially tomorrow when you say a little go pack go and get rid of those Dallas little cowgirls.
So. Okay. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like if we dig any deeper, we'll just get into trouble. So I better leave that one alone. But Dave, okay, well, have fun in Nashville. Say hi to all those potential divers and good recruiting, my friend. You're bringing more people into the club, and we always love it. All right?
Will do. Next weekend, we'll be in Chicago at a boat show, and then after that, Kansas City. I think we'll do a little barbecue down there.
Nice. And, of course, you can follow Dave's progress right there at beadiver.com. Am I correct, Dave? That's the right
That
website.
Is correct. Next month, we'll be on the West Coast, and then hecked over in April, I'll be down by you.
Nice. Now, Roz is on the line with us from the UK. Roz, do they do any of this kind of stuff over where you are? Do they got a pool touring the UK like Dave, but with just a crazy accent or what?
Unfortunately not, but we do have like the Paddy Crews busy touring the country, doing try dives and rebreather dives and so on.
Okay, so they're just going out to like dive locations and diving with everybody type of thing, you're saying?
Yeah, we had Paddy go and do try dives at the Anglesey Scuba Fest last year, and I think they did about 40 different people.
So they did that with a pool? Or they did that with a pool, or did they just take them out in the ocean there or somewhere, or what?
They did it in the pool, and then we had people doing side mount try dives in the sea who were already qualified divers.
Nice. But do you think they could possibly do as good a job as Dave? Dave, you want to go to the UK with the Be a Diver pool, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Roz, we hung out in Vegas, right? We know all about the divers.
Okay.
Well, it would be great to get Dave over to the UK to do this. I can't think of anybody better.
You'd have Carla, what? Your better half?
Oh, she'd have to be. Roz loves Carla. So I'd have to bring Carla.
Carla just organizes everybody.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, it's one big happy diver family. That's what we have here. And we're just bringing people together. So who knows? Maybe we added a tour date to the Be a Diver pool tour there, Dave. We'll see, okay?
Always for it.
All right, there you go. All right, I'll let you get back to it. He has a lot of people he has to talk to. But I got Roz, Eric Douglas, and Jerry the Diver Guy on via the web. But Roz, let me start with you. Well, what do you got going on these days? What have you been up to over there other than just kind of hanging out, diving to your heart's content?
Well, staying dry. New Year's Eve, I went and watched a load of men run around a village with lit tar barrels on their head.
Okay. Is that a typical thing that they do in the UK for New Year's Eve? Or is that just kind of exclusive to you? What is that?
No, that was exclusive to this particular village.
Yeah,
and I had to go and see it.
I just thought
I'd share that quaint tradition with you.
Okay. Explain it a little bit more, because I have no idea. I have a picture in my mind of what this looks like, but I'm guessing it isn't anywhere close. So please explain what they do on New Year's Eve.
There's a village in Allendale, which is in Northumberland.
Okay.
And it's North England.
Yeah.
And if you are a man born in the village, you can join in, and they cut the bottom off a barrel, a wooden barrel, and it used to be filled with tar, but not now for safety reasons, and they put paraffin and wood shavings in it, and they light it, and about 15 minutes before midnight, all the men in fancy dress walk around the village with these lit barrels on their head. And they do a big circuit of a village, and they arrive in the square at midnight, and they toss these barrels onto the fire at midnight. And
okay.
It's amazing.
So it's basically like a typical Saturday night at the Jerry the Diver Guy household. Isn't that right, Jerry? That's pretty much what happens every time in the mountains of Virginia, doesn't it?
But well, it's close enough.
I don't think it's. I don't think they put paraffin in the barrel, though. I think it's spring water, right?
It's spring water. Yeah,
that's a whole other story there, Roz. You know what I'm saying? And this spring water we're referring to isn't the kind of spring water we'd like to dive in, which I know you're a fan of as well. But I don't know. That sounds a little nutty. Maybe something, Eric. Have you ever seen such a thing or written about such an event like that? What do you think?
I think that one's probably a first for me, actually. I think Roz is going to have to tell me the name of that village, and we're going to have to see that next year.
Yes, it sounds like something we got to mark off the bucket list for sure, literally bucket, after you wear it and fill it with paraffin and shavings and parade around in fancy dress. Wow! How's that for a first segment? Bob Harris from the DEMO organization. We're going to talk about some Goliath Grouper issues coming up next and much, much more. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, hey, hey. Who wants to have some fun?
Come on, get down, come on, get on down. Come on, get down, get down. Come on, get down, come on, get on down. Come on, get down, come on, get down. Come on, get down, get on down. Get down, come on, get on down. Get down,
this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we got Roz from the UK, Eric Douglas, who's he's a great writer, writes these cool dive stories, and he has a couple new ones that we're going to talk about on the show today. Also, Jerry the Diver Guy is connected with us via the web. Jimmy the Bubble Boy is in the studio with me, but that wasn't enough. Yes, we got a full plate of guests and fun things to cover today. And Bob Harris from the DEMA organization, well, he works for DEMA, at least in certain things, but he's up there in the in Tallahassee working with all the legislators to keep them informed from a diver's perspective, is with us right now on Scuba Radio. Bob, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, Greg. How are you?
I am good. So did I give you the right introduction? I mean, yeah, I don't know. What title do you like to go by these days? You have so many. You know what I mean?
Yeah, It's true. I mean, I have been called, lobbyist, governmental affairs,
right,
legislative advocate. But bottom line is whatever DEMA and the dive industry needs me to do to help fight the battle for divers and dive businesses, I'm there.
Yeah, you're the man in the know when it comes to legislative affairs that affect diving, especially in the state of Florida, because you're up there in Tallahassee keeping these legislators at bay to make sure they don't pass some law that really screws us, which
yeah.
is actually happening more often than not, unfortunately. So
it's amazing. Sometimes we've even had bills filed in Florida and other states to regulate scuba diving, and it's really been interesting to educate legislators across these number of years.
Yes. Now, I know there's something happening, I believe it's next weekend down in Key West, right? Do I got the dates right?
Yeah, it's the meetings are actually the 13th through the 15th, but the important day is the 15th. There's a joint meeting of the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council and the South Florida Council, where they're going to be looking at stock assessment and where things are with the Goliath grouper, of
mm-hmm.
course, which is very, very important to dive businesses, certainly in this state. And so that meeting occurs next week down in Key West.
Yeah, and in a nutshell, and I may have this, I'm going to try to dumb this down for people like me, but basically what we have going on, there's been a moratorium on harvesting Goliath grouper, these big giant Jewfish from back in the day. We call them Goliath grouper now because it's more politically correct and they change,
right.
whatever. But these are massive, massive, you know, codfish type looking things. Folks in Australia would call them codfish, but
right.
we call them Goliath grouper, but they're the giant just massive grouper, and they can be as big as a bus. These things can get huge, and they started getting fished out, especially in off the Florida coast. And so they put a moratorium on them a few years ago, and now they're coming back big time. And we're anecdotally, you get a lot of reports like, man, you should have seen these giant Goliath grouper, but now the fishing community is like, okay, well now there's too many. We want to go hunt them again. Is that kind of it in a nutshell?
It is. The ban went in effect in 1990 because there had been such incredible exploitation by the fishing community and spearfishing and other, that the population of the Goliath grouper went down to about 5% of what it should be.
Mm.
And so they put this prohibition of complete taking both in state and federal waters in effect. And so the population has come back. The problem, of course, is they really do not know how far it's come back. You know, Goliath grouper is an incredible thing to see when you're on a dive. I remember last time I was on a shark dive, they finished the shark dive, and I turned around, and there was a Goliath grouper behind me looking at me, and
yes.
it was just an incredible experience to see that fish, and it was awesome. But we don't know today how well the species has come back from that exploitation. And so until we really have good numbers, I think the dive community has been consistent in saying, until we know, let's not remove that moratorium. Let's keep it in place, and let divers continue to enjoy seeing that species when we have our dives.
Yeah, and I know there's been some reports or studies released through the fishing community that they've maybe commissioned, and that could be suspect. I mean, look, I know what they want to do, and you can't blame them for trying, but like you said, until there's an official federal study to show us that indeed these animals have returned to a level that they can be maybe marginally managed or harvested in some capacity, it really kind of stinks for divers, because they are one of the coolest animals to see underwater, and they're actually I don't know what your experiences are, but my experiences with Goliath grouper are they can be very social with divers.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get annoyed with us. I've seen that as well, but I've seen sometimes where they're actually very friendly and they get accustomed to the divers, and you kind of, who would want to kill this thing? This is a pretty cool animal. He kind of seems curious with us. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. In fact, again, when I went on that shark dive, it sat behind me about 10 feet away and just looked at me and turned around and just kept coming back and looking at me. He was as curious about me, I think, as I was about him. But, that kind of experience is what divers want. It's why they come to Florida. It's why they go diving. And that's why when DEMA did its survey back in September about this issue, 73% of the diving community said, let's keep that moratorium in effect. It's very important for our business. It's important for divers to see. And so I'm really impressed with the effort by the diving community and their support of maintaining this moratorium.
Yes. Now, do you think it also is more of an issue of showing the world or, you know, regulatory agencies that, just like sharks, that we have shown in the Bahamas in particular, that they are much more valuable alive than being killed or harvested?
Isn't that the same kind of thing? Yeah, absolutely. There is a point in time where a resource like Goliath grouper attracts so much interest and so much and helps the economy, the local economy. I mean, there is data that DEMA has gathered which shows that one dive shop attributes about $600,000 worth of economic impact for a 4-month period of time because of the interest in seeing the Goliath grouper. Mm. You take that away at every single dive shop that caters to divers who want to go out and see these incredible species. You take all that away, it affects Florida, it affects people who come to Florida from outside Florida, and it really, I think, would paint a bad picture for people who understand the value of this species alive rather than dead sitting on someone's plate.
Yes, that's what I would think, too. And, I mean, I see their point, too, from the recreational fishing folks, that this would be good for their business if they could offer this up as a thing. But yeah, I mean, until we know that, indeed, they have definitely come back, at least we ought to be very cautious of how we open up that fishery, I would think. And,
yep.
And that's all you're trying to say, right?
That's it. And that's why we want divers and dive businesses to come to this meeting next Thursday on the 15th. It'll be between approximately 9 and 12 at the Key West Marriott Beachside Hotel. Just come and just say, express your opinion.
There you go.
All right.
Absolutely. Bob Harris, thank you so much. Appreciate the update as always, my friend.
You're welcome, Greg. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you, man.
You got it. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Jimmy the Bubble Boy in the studio with me, and on via the web we have Roz from the UK. We have Eric Douglas in Virginia, and I screwed it up. He's in West Virginia, and Jerry the Diver Guy is in Virginia, right? Did I just create a fight amongst you two? As I intended, guys.
I'll let that slide.
It's not a fight against between us. It's a fight against you.
Oh, well,
oh yeah.
Well, you guys would unite. The West and the East would unite to fight me for just screwing that up, Eric. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's pretty much exactly what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's a good thing we're connected on via the web, and you're not here within arm's reach. Then, see the nonsense.
But we know where you are.
I got to deal with this in the States here, Roz, but with you, it's all everything's all good, right? I don't have to worry about any kind of issues with you, right, Roz? Yeah.
None whatsoever, Greg.
See? So I got the Brits got my back or something. I don't know. Is Brits right? You're a Brit, right?
Yes, of course I am.
Okay. I'm just making sure I got my lingo right. See, at some point, I have a tendency to offend people, which is kind of surprising, isn't it? Yeah, you guys are all going, really, Greg? Really? You're going to go there? Yeah. Well, that's just what I do.
It's not like you called her a Scot or something.
Well, true.
Or said she was from Wales.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, it's early in the show, Eric. So give me some time. I can work that in. But I don't know. What are you, these Goliath grouper, Roz, what about you? Have you seen these Goliath grouper? They don't have those in the UK. That's a Florida thing, I'm guessing, right?
It's a Florida thing. I went diving with John Chatterton, author John Chatterton, out of Fort Lauderdale before Tech Dive USA last year.
Ah, okay. Did you see some out there when you were diving with him?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They are cool, cool animals, aren't they? What about you, Eric? You've ever dived with the Goliath groupers? Or were they Jewfish back
sorry,
in the day?
I was on mute there for a second. Yeah, no, actually, I've been with Goliath. I've seen Goliath a couple times in the Keys and then in the Goliath in the Keys, and then and I've forgotten the other, the Caribbean grouper in Cayman and down in that area.
Okay, well, cool. We'll talk more about this and much, much more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 227. The Atlantic devil ray has no poisonous barbs on its tail. Therefore, it is the Pope's official position that performing an exorcism is not necessary.
They just want to give you their blessing.
So please stop calling the Vatican.
If the nobles find out who you are, there'll be the devil to pay.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Nick?
It's all great, Greg.
You know, we've talked about boat diving and etiquette to follow, but we've never got around to discussing how to choose a dive boat.
It's definitely putting the horse before the cart.
There are obviously lots of different boats to choose from, but how about we cover commercial charter boats?
These are the boats that most divers have to choose from.
What's the first thing to consider?
I think the first thing is the most obvious. Make sure the boat that you're on is equal to the task. If someone's offering to take you 20 miles offshore in a dinghy, you might want to think again.
And you probably don't need a yacht for a five-minute trip to the reef.
It'd be nice, though, huh?
Well, yeah. Yachts always get a yes in my book. But regardless, there are safety standards every boat should meet, right?
Sure there are. No matter what size the boat or operation, every dive charter should have life jackets, a radio, fire extinguisher, a Coast Guard certification or an appropriate equivalent, a captain with a captain's license, and a sufficient crew for the number of passengers on board.
How about dive safety?
Every dive boat should have emergency oxygen on board and at least one crew member who's trained to use it. There should also be a first aid kit to go with the oxygen unit as well.
And at least one person trained to use it.
Won't do anybody much good if there's not. Ideally, the boat will also have a diver tracking system in place to ensure no diver gets left behind.
Didn't Dan develop something for this?
Yep. We created the DIDS system just for that purpose. It's a tagging system whereby each diver gets a tag when they enter the water, and they replace it on the board when they return. It's free to any charter boat that would like to have one.
Y'all are just nice, Dan, are you?
We try. But even if the boat doesn't use the Dan DIDS system, do make sure there's something similar in place so divers are counted.
How about access on and off the boat?
A dive charter should have easy access on and off the boat. Divers shouldn't have to struggle to get in and out of the water when they're weighed down by gear.
The weather will generally create its own set of factors to help with that.
Exactly. There are some things a charter boat can't be expected to control, like waves or visibility, which is why it's important that the safety factors that they control are in place.
That's the thought behind downlines and current lines, right?
Sure. Downlines are intended to help you move from the entry point to the anchor line, or to help keep you at a certain depth for your safety stop, while current lines usually play out behind the boat for you to hold on to and wait your turn to get back on board.
Any other absolutes that should be on board?
Ample drinking water. It's important for divers to stay hydrated, and most boat charters realize that and plan accordingly.
We've talked a lot about the tangibles that should be on board. How about any intangibles?
The biggest one that comes to mind is the dive briefing you'll get from the crew. Not only should the crew brief you before you leave the dock as to boat procedures like using the head, stowing your gear, and what to do if you're seasick, but also before a dive, you should be fully briefed on dive profiles, either suggested or maximum, visibility, current, the general site configuration, a dive plan, either suggested or as it will be led, and exit and boarding procedures.
What about some of the luxury items you might find on board, like showers, dry storage, camera tables?
Well, those things are great, but when choosing a dive boat, think about the things that absolutely should be there. Showers and camera tables are nice, but they're not essential. The luxury items are going to vary depending on the size of the boat or operation. Luxury or a lack of it should not be the deciding factor. The attention and focus on keeping divers safe should be.
No matter the size of the charter boat, every boat should have standard safety gear and procedures in place. Be sure to check it out before you board, and don't be afraid to ask any questions about what is and isn't there. Good captains and crew are more than happy to share the information. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
An investment that you should make if you're a diver. You shouldn't really be diving if you're not a Dan member, if you ask me. But I digress. Let's talk about other stuff. We're talking about Goliath Grouper. You know, there's a big meeting next weekend down in Key West with the Florida Wildlife Commission that they're going to talk about the harvesting of Goliath Grouper. Recreational fishing interests want to be able to open up that fishery again that's been closed down since like the 90s. The grouper have come back, and they are some of the coolest animals you could see in the ocean, if you ask me. And I know Eric, Jerry, and Roz would all back me up on that. Right, guys? Just unison. One, two, three. Yes.
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 Okay. Yeah. So they agree. And I think it's pretty pretty common knowledge that if you see these animals underwater, it's pretty impressive stuff. Now, I would agree, though, that they have definitely made a massive rebound, because you get these anecdotal stories, even from the divers, that, man, there were 20... you know, Goliath Grouper out on this site down in the Keys. So are they coming back? Sure. I think that's pretty much happening. But to what extent, and how do we, you know, regulate that? And maybe, I don't know. I guess eventually, and Eric, I don't know if you follow this more than anyone of the group on the show today. But my guess is it's going to get opened up to recreational fishing at some point, and probably come down to a situation where they, you know, set up a tagging system, like, okay, or you know, just like you would try to cull a herd from deer or something, and you end up having to buy a, you know, a tag or something. It allows you to take like Goliath grouper a year. You think something like that's coming down the pike? What's your thought?
I won't be surprised by that, Greg. Here in West Virginia, we have more white-tailed deer than we would ever want to see, frankly. But yeah, hunters have to get a license, and they're allowed one in bow season, one in gun season. You know, it's regulated.
Yeah.
The issue that I have with taking Goliath grouper, now that they are coming back, and it's wonderful to see them. They're amazing fish.
Right.
I mean, when you see a 400-pound fish just sitting by beside you, just kind of hovering there watching you, that's a really interesting feeling, especially when you know it's so non-aggressive, and you see the look in their eyes, you know there's more going on there than just a fish. But the problem that, as I understand it, with like Goliath grouper, is the bigger they get, the more the better they are at breeding. They truly, size truly does matter in this situation. And
I hate when she says that.
Well, you know, you hear it more often than I do. But I, you know, suddenly if we open, they're just now coming back. They're just now getting to a good breeding size. Mm-hmm. And then we suddenly allow fishermen to start taking the big ones again. That just puts us right back to square one. And it doesn't really make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a tough situation, because I do feel for the recreational fishing folks too. I mean, they got businesses and they want to take people out to catch a big fish and that kind of thing. And you know, like I said, anecdotally, for sure, you're hearing reports that there are definitely a lot more Goliath grouper out there. But it is tough, especially, like you said, when, as divers, we have those encounters with these fish, and that particular species in particular, for me, matter of fact, my first marine life encounter was with a grouper in the Caymans as a diver. And they had one of those friendly groupers that came up and started hanging with us. Now, it wasn't a Goliath grouper, but it was a pretty good-sized grouper, you know, maybe in like a Nassau grouper or something like that. But they're all part of the same family, and they have that same kind of personality where they can get accustomed to divers and act fairly friendly. Now, on the other side of the coin, and Roz, I'm going to go to you on this one, and Jerry, feel free to chime in if you like to as well. But I have heard somewhat aggressive stories from Goliath grouper sometimes as well. Have you heard of any of these type of incidents with these animals, or not so much? What do you think?
I've not come across it,
Yeah.
I've only had a couple of experiences with Goliath groupers, and that was out of Fort Lauderdale.
And they were just docile, just hanging out and chilling, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he actually frightened the bejesus out of me because I was quietly mooching through his wreck and went through a doorway, and there was this huge, great big fish, and it was kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, it was fantastic. It was fantastic, and it made the dive, but it did spook me for about 3 seconds.
Now,
I found it very gentle.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think for the most part they are gentle, but I have seen them get defensive at times. Well, if you get too close to them and they start doing that pumping sound. Eric, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where they slap their gills and it's kind of like a warning, like, hey, dude, I don't really like you. I'm in my own private space.
You're getting too close. Back off.
And they go, and it's kind of like, holy crap, this is a big-ass fish, man. And there's rumors that, you know, Jonah, who was swallowed by the whale, was actually swallowed by a giant Goliath grouper. You know this, right? Jerry knows this. He's a fine connoisseur of biblical literature, I believe. Am I just making up stuff now, Jerry, or what?
I don't know about that much, but I have heard them drum before.
Okay, you've seen them drum. That's right. That's the proper terminology. I knew Jerry would get it right, if anyone. All right, more coming up.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. Patty, the way the world learns to dive.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, this is Richie Kohler.
And I'm John Chatterton.
And you're listening to Scuba Radio.
Yowza. This is the world's first radio show dedicated to diving.
Come on, come on, dive, dive, dive. Sink it slow, dive, dive, dive. Sink it deep.
Yeah, you know, we dive. dive at 5. That's what he said, and as soon as we get off the air, maybe we'll make that happen. Who knows? Anything could happen here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Jimmy the Bubble Boy in the studio with me, and I got Roz from the UK, Eric Douglas in West Virginia, and we got Jerry the Diver Guy in Virginia on the web. And, you know, we have this thing on the website now where you can actually you can actually go to scubaradio.com and press on a little button there on a tab that says get on the air and ask us questions. And let me see if I can pull one up here. I think we got one standing by. Let's see. Is he there? Yeah, oh, wait. There he is. Actually, I see it. We got a speak.
Hey, Greg, is this a live show today? Crockett. Yeah.
Okay, is this a live show today? Crockett did it. And did you guys hear that? You heard that. Everybody heard that, I guess, right? Maybe, barely. But anyway, yes, we are live. If that doesn't prove it, I don't know what else would. You know what I'm saying? So we are live today. Feel free to chime in via our little online thing there at scubaradio.com. Or, of course, you can just call us up at 888-88-SCUBA. And we'll address your questions accordingly, or hang up on you more than likely. But that's just me. That's all me. I'll take all the blame for that. Roz would never do that. Eric would never do that, and definitely not Jerry the Diver Guy. But Jimmy might. He might do that. But guys, let's talk about this Goliath Grouper stuff. And Eric, first of all, you have a new book out that you've written. I mean, he writes all this stuff for magazines, and he's a what do you like to be called these days, by the way, Eric? Just a novelist or artistic writer? What is the title you would prefer to be?
Just plain old author works for
me. Okay, that's easier. Yes, it's much easier. But.
Yeah, let's not put too fine a point on it. But well, yeah, author works.
Yeah, but it's a good. You're really good at it. I mean, he writes these Mike Scott novels. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to head out on a little trip, and that's going to be my reading material for the week.
Which one are you on?
I'm on a couple of them, actually. So I don't even want
to. Last two, that's right.
Yes, I got to get caught up. And actually, you just released another one this week, right? But it's not about Goliath Grouper. It's about a shark or something. Is that it?
It's actually tiger sharks. This one's not a full book, though. This one is it's a Mike Scott story, but it's really it's about 10,000 words, so it's a short story.
Okay,
but it's actually free on my website for anybody who goes to my website and joins my mailing list. You can then download this book and read it on your it's in three formats. It's in EPUB, which is like iPads, that sort of thing.
Right.
Or it's in Kindle, and it's also as a PDF file.
Okay, excellent. And all you got to do is go to booksbyeric.com, right?
booksbyeric.com and join my mailing list, and it's right there.
Yeah, and I think
but it is a Mike Scott story.
Yeah, well, and if it's like any of the other ones, it's full of interesting little twists and stories and backstory, and divers would really, really appreciate it, because obviously Eric is a diver and he works this into his plot line quite effectively, and it allows you as a diver to connect to the story just that much more. I mean, but honestly, whether you're a diver or not, you'd enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to this new one. Now, can you give me any taste of what this involves with tiger sharks? Are we talking about tiger sharks over in the Bahamas or something, or what?
It's actually set in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. It's actually Mike Scott has gone to the Bahamas. You know, Mike Scott is an international photojournalist. He travels all over the world, and he's gone to the Bahamas doing a story on how well the tiger sharks are coming back since the Bahamas has stopped finning in Bahamian waters.
Yeah, isn't that weird that they found out that the sharks were more valuable alive than dead? And interesting how there's a parallel between that and the Goliath grouper situation, maybe.
Exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, if you can get people coming to Florida to see the grouper,
right.
Are they more important than killing them and eating them? But so anyway, Mike Scott is doing a dive researching this story and discovers where somebody has actually killed and finned some tiger sharks. And then so he's off on a chase to hunt them down and put a stop to him. In the tagline for the book, I say that Mike Scott is chasing the most dangerous predator in the ocean, man.
Aha. There you go. I like it. I like it a lot. And, of course, if you go to booksbyeric.com, you can sign up and get a free copy of that. And, obviously, then you can read about his other Mike Scott novels or articles that you've written for the Dive magazine. And, I mean, your stuff is popping up all over the place now, Eric. You've been pretty busy.
I'm trying to be ubiquitous. I want to be everywhere. But, yeah, no, there are five Mike Scott novels. Plus, I put out the Tales from Withrow Key, which is a compilation of short stories set in my own little key in the Florida Keys.
Right. And that's actually, that's the group of books that I'm trying to catch up on next week, actually. That's where I'm backlogged. But I'll catch up. Enough. That is my plan, at least. We'll see what happens.
Tales from Withrow Keys got eight short stories in it, and the book itself has one brand new one, and the first seven were out already, but it's a continuing series down there as well.
Nice. Well, you've been very busy, and it's good stuff, and I recommend it highly to any diver. Like I said, whether you're a diver or not, you'll appreciate it for sure. And, Eric, I appreciate you hanging and just sharing your thoughts today on the show, man. But I guess you got to get back to some home repair or something, I hear. So
The bathroom's still a mess.
All right, bathroom's still a mess. And we can't have that. That's, you know, there's water involved, and we're divers, and that's just bad karma, I think. Roz and Jerry, the diver guy, I know would agree with me, but they don't care about their bathrooms, and they've promised to hang around for hour two. So we'll do that along with Jimmy the Bubble Boy and talk about diving and much, much more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
You're hot on whale here. That's why it's hot. I'm not in water. Yeah, we love it.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.